And so it was kind of like scrap paper, making notes, whatever, and I lost my notes. And they like came out of my bag or my pocket or whatever. And I was at a restaurant, and I realized I lost them. I went back to the restaurant, and somebody had stuck them like in a place. They blew them up outside. Somebody gathered them up outside and stuck them in like some way in the window frame or something of the restaurant I was going to. And there they were. It's like, what? I mean, it's a whole different mindset. Well, Madison ended up, I think, having to take her mother's place in her class because she was out for her surgery. I don't know where everybody else is. We got the creep and the crop out here.
Y'all think that? Did we touch your phone?
I'm about to do that.
Still know where you are.
9-1-2. Okay, that just means everybody's going to talk more. All right, we are on the last class, and the last class is what?
A good name.
A good name. All right. What an appropriate last class for the study of Proverbs, because I think it's real relevant to. Too bad. Who would like to word prayer for us, guys? Okay, Ben, go ahead.
Holy Father, we're thankful for you. We're thankful for this day that you bless us with. Father, help us to be attentive to your word today, to look into it and see what we're supposed to do, to be wise and not foolish. Father, be with Mr. Jim as he teaches us today. We are thankful for him and his example. And Father, I pray that you would continue to be with us throughout the remainder of this study and service and the whole day as we go about our lives. Lord, we've come together to encourage each other and to remember Jesus and the sacrifice that he made for us on the cross. And it's in his name we pray, amen.
Amen. Thank you. Okay, so first thing I want to do is, okay, think about this a little bit because I want you to, you've got something to write with. If you don't have something to write with, I'll give you something to write with. Everybody got something to write with?
Right here, Jim. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Anybody else? Anybody else need something, Michael? Don't you? Do you need something? Okay. It's getting down to, let's see. Wait a minute. I'll let somebody borrow my pens. The pencil's not sharp. Is there more pencil? What? Okay. Here's another pen. Justine, let's see. Cord, you got something right with?
Yes.
Oh, look at you, man. Anybody else? Anyone? We're good? All right, so here's questions. Ready? Based on your actions this past week, do you have a good name with the people that you encounter? Based on your actions this past week, do you have a good name with the people that you encounter? That's everybody. Family, friends, business, school, whatever. It's kind of a yes or no. Second question. If you've gotten off on the wrong foot with someone and compromised your good name, how do you fix it? If you've gotten off on the wrong foot with someone and compromised your good name, how do you fix it? Third question. What is the best way to establish a good name and maintain it? Just short, quick answers. I'm not looking for a dissertation here. best way to establish a good name and maintain it. So we're answering questions right now. So
you got something right up?
Mm-hmm. I'm working. I'm gonna run back through the questions for you real quick here, Ian. Just for you to think about. Based on your actions this last week, do you have a good name with the people that you encounter? We're talking about a good name. That's the lesson for today, a good name. Based on your actions this last week, do you have a good name with the people you encounter? One. Two, if you've gotten off on the wrong foot with someone and compromised your good name, how do you fix it? Question two. Question three, what's the best way to establish a good name and maintain it? And question four, how good are you at saying, I'm sorry, or I've made a mistake, and asking for forgiveness? And how will this help impact laying the foundation for a good name? How good are you at saying, I'm sorry, or I've made a mistake, and asking for forgiveness? And the last question is, why is this lesson a good lesson to end the class with on how does Proverbs as a whole impact our good name? Why is this lesson a good lesson to end the class with on how does Proverbs as a whole impact our good name? Okay, so let's start. And again, just talk about them. I mean, you know, if you want to give your answer, that's fine. If you don't want to, that's okay too. But my goal is to just try to get everybody to kind of think about it a little bit. So, based on your actions last week, how do you have a good name with the people that you encountered? Anybody want to answer that one?
Yeah, I mean, unless I just totally miss something.
Okay.
I mean, you know, world of business, sometimes you have to tell people what they don't want to hear.
Right.
So, I mean, depending how
that's
they,
life.
Yeah, I mean, I was honest. I mean, I don't think I did.
Right. Yeah.
A terrible way, but somebody might have a grudge against me right now, but I guess hopefully they see the...
How can we put ourselves in a position where from our actions we could soil a good name?
From our actions?
Yeah.
I mean, obviously good...
Actions, words, whatever.
Good deeds, but like with words, I mean, the more I'm learning, it's all about the context and it's how you set the conversation.
Okay,
and
good.
I'm just start talking to somebody about something. I mean, let them know why you want to do it and where you're coming from first.
Perspective.
Yeah.
And we talked about that in class too. Ben, you were ready to say something. Look like.
Like he said, it's about being honest, and like if you're trying to deceive people clearly and they find out, then your good name is gone.
Right. Yeah, I mean, well, we talked about deceit and lying last week, right? And what a big deal that is. I mean, that's true in life, but boy, it really, I mean, it's true in life, period, but man, it's really true in business. I mean, you get to a place where you're out working in a job and whatever, and where I've been, you know, self-employed a lot of my time, but also working for other companies. Why is it important? So if you're working for somebody, you know, and you tell a lie to try and make a sale or to get something that you want to get done, then why is that a problem for your good name? And is that the only problem you potentially created? First, it's a reflection on you, right, as an employee of that company. And second of all, you have also compromised the company that you work for. And so it's a double whammy there that you potentially create a problem for. And what kind of, so first, and then you create a problem with the person that you lied to, because you're representing the company, you lied to them to try and get something done. Helps to create a problem with your employer if they find out. So you create, and then you create a problem with you and God, most importantly, by telling them why. So it's important. If you've gotten off on the wrong foot with somebody and compromised your good name, how do you fix it?
I don't know, sometimes you can.
Sometimes you can't?
Yeah. Sometimes it's just, you know, some people just want scorn to never forget it, so to speak.
Right. But, I mean, so you can't do anything about their actions again. But what can you do to try and fix it? I don't think you can just say, I can't fix it. I'm not even going
to
try.
Well, no, I guess you can try to fix it, but your good name is not going to be what it once was with that person.
Yeah, that's,
I guess what I'm
that's a possibility. Yeah, it's a possibility. But you can't do anything about how they react to what you've tried to do to fix the problem, is what I'm trying to say. I hear what you're saying. I hear what you're saying. I don't disagree. But that's their problem. That's not your problem, is the way I look at that. Do y'all agree with that? Anybody else? Any other comment there? Okay, so he's saying it's hard to sometimes with some people because they want to just hold on to it. But how do you try and fix it?
You apologize?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot to be said for that. So what's an apology all about?
Admitting you.
Oh, wow. Are you serious? We might admit that we were wrong? Why do people have such a stinking problem with that?
Pride.
Lack of humility. A lack of willingness to say, I messed up.
I think it's also our culture, too, recognizes, like, they don't like the person that's wrong a lot. You know, I think the only job that you can be incorrect a lot and still hold it is, you know, obviously the, like, I don't know, like a weatherman or something like that. I mean, something that's just.
I used to be a weatherman.
Well, I mean, that's why you're employed. But I mean, I'm just saying, you know, there's not a whole lot of people either that. I mean, some will respect it when you say you're wrong, but I mean, I guess as humans, you're like, you know, you're thinking, at least for me, like I try to at least hide it or sweep it under the rug because I don't want to come across that I don't know something, like, often.
Yeah, so
more or less
what's the moral of that story?
I mean, what I've learned is just always, like, it's better to just completely not know something and learn it the right way rather than to jump through a bunch of hoops acting like you do, and then...
Here's my proverb. Sometimes the best thing said is nothing at all. Sometimes the best thing said is nothing at all. I'm talking about something you don't know anything about. And why do we do that? Same answer. Pride. Because we want to come across as somebody that knows it. And we want people's respect and we try to feel good about ourselves. And then we get in a mess. But I'm telling you, trust me when I say, don't ever be afraid to apologize for making a mistake. Do not ever be afraid to do that. And that's all, it's never, let's see if I can get this right. It's never the wrong thing to do the right thing. It's never the wrong thing to do the right thing. And the right thing is to apologize if you've messed up. And however that person chooses to take that, you can't do anything about it, but you know what you've done, and God knows what you've done. So, you know, that's all important. So, what's the best way to establish a good name and maintain it? How do you maintain a good name?
Be honest. You keep your word. You treat others the same way you treat them.
Say it again, McCord.
You be honest. You keep your word, and then you treat others the same way you treat them. I mean, in Proverbs chapter 20, verse 11, so even a child makes himself known by his acts, by whether his conduct is pure and upright. So I guess your deeds, the things you do.
Okay. Those are all great. Anybody else?
Also, it's kind of already up there, but like how your actions and your words fit together, or if they fit together.
So, here's another gem proverb. What you're doing speaks so loudly, I can't hear what you're saying. What you're doing speaks so loudly, I can't hear what you're saying. So you can give me this big line that is great, and it sounds wonderful, but the actions don't reflect what you're saying. And that's what you're talking about, right? So, yeah, it's important. What's that?
That might be the biggest one on the board, in my opinion. I mean, that's really how, I mean.
Yeah, what do people call that?
Being a hypocrite.
Yeah, hypocrite. And we get that a lot of times from a church standpoint, too.
Saying it, though, as well.
Sir?
Doing it's a whole lot harder than just saying it. In anything. I don't care what it is.
So here's what I wrote down. And this goes to what you just said, Lawson. Consistency. Because nobody's going to make you be consistent or all that stuff. It's got to be something that's important enough to you that you make it happen. And it either is important or it's not important. So, I mean, that's kind of what we have to decide. Okay, how are you saying, I'm sorry I made a mistake and ask for forgiveness? How will this help impact laying the foundation for a good name? How are you saying, I'm sorry, or asking for forgiveness? How are y'all with that?
Shows that it makes you more honest in other people's eyes because you made a mistake and you know it, and if other people know it, you make sure that you tell them.
And here's what can happen sometimes in those situations. You've compromised your values, or you feel like you've done something wrong. You know, if I've done something and I feel like I've hurt Justine, then it might not be as big a deal to Justine as it is to me. But still, I need to go ahead and say, Justine, I'm sorry. I apologize. I hope you'll forgive me. And then she knows, if I'm being honest, I think, with her. And she might say, oh, it's no big deal. It's fine. Don't worry about it. You know, and it may not have been a big deal to her, or she might be saying that to make me feel good, right? Just like, so I don't feel bad about it, because she knows, she can see that I have some remorse in my actions or my words. So, it costs absolutely nothing to be willing to do that, folks. just submitting a little, you know, humbling yourself a little bit and putting your pride in your pocket. And because I'm telling you, one of the biggest problems that you will grapple with your entire life is that very thing. Pride versus what? Humility. And you can't have them both. You know, I mean, it's, you know, it's good to, you've accomplished something, you feel good about it. There's not anything wrong with that. But we can't get to where we think too much of, and again, too high opinion of my opinion. That's pride. Too high an opinion of my opinion. What I need to work on is humility and try and make sure that defines who I am and what I am and how I go about living my life every day. And so, why do you think this lesson's a good lesson to end on with regard to the Proverbs class? A good name.
I mean, that's probably how you're going to introduce more people to the gospel. It's just who you are. I mean, you know, you're being a vessel is a big part. It's, I mean, just that's how Eric was, I believe that's how he was, you know, he was taught. It's just through seeing somebody's actions.
So, yeah. I mean, no, I think that's good. What else?
I think Proverbs gives a lot of daily life, daily living, and a good name is like one of the biggest daily commitments you have to really focus on.
So, okay.
It encompasses a lot of Proverbs.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with Court. I think that's great. Just our guide to our daily living. Anybody else? Anything else? Those are great.
I think they both, like, being wise and having a good name are both kind of rooted in humility.
Okay.
Because wisdom is all about, like, learning from other people and learning from your mistakes, from other people's mistakes, and, like, submitting yourself to God's will. And a good name is all about admitting that you're wrong and learning from your mistakes and being consistent.
That's good. Oops. You know, the difference between a mistake is, you know, something that you make it once and then you learn it. Difference between a mistake and a learning experience is, you know, learning experience, you make a mistake and you learn from it and you don't keep doing it. But otherwise, you just keep doing the same thing over and over and over, you didn't learn anything. You're not applying it. So, yeah, that's good.
That's,
what else?
It's like, well, going back to that point, that's actually what I tell my kids that I work for. Anytime they make a mistake, I'll tell them it's only a mistake you don't learn from.
And it's the truth.
I tell them, I can't promise this is going to be the last time you're going to make a mistake, so it's not. And that's, I think that's a big point of this. It's not that you're not going to make a mistake. You're going to make a mistake. It's how you deal with it.
Right. And that becomes a learning experience. And that kind of goes back to the whole idea of circumstances in life. You know, this is another one of those quotes that I've tried to throw out throughout my life, and that is, circumstances do not define you, they reveal you. Circumstances don't define you, they reveal you. So we have to decide if we're going to let the circumstances we're in define us or reveal us. And all that is based on all these things that we're talking about. So what's important? You know, what do you want to be? Who do you want to be? It all has impact on, you know, how we deal with everything that happens in life every single day. And we just kind of have to decide. So that first one there, it talks about, and it talks about the physical things in the opening of the book and the lesson. It says in 22:1, a good name is to be chosen rather than great riches, loving favor rather than silver or gold. So what does that say to you? 22:1. And it's right, I say it's right, it's the right there in the front of the book, too. A good name is to be chosen rather than great riches, loving favor rather than silver or gold. What do you think?
time somebody views you is more important than how much money you have.
So, yeah, what does the world put emphasis on? Material things, right? My house and, you know, my house and my money and my car and my stuff, right? And that's what this is talking about. It's saying if you should choose a good name rather than that and loving favor rather than that. And that's about your character and who you are and who you choose to be and how you go about living your life every day. And the introduction of the book there was really good too. The guy always does a good job. I mean, I thought he has in the whole book. It says, would you rather have someone tell your children after you're gone that you are a rich man or that you were a good, honest, and noble man? What would you rather have be said about you? Because the rich stuff, I mean, it just goes away. I mean, if I fell over dead today, then they'd be out in the garage, you know, Nathan and Jace and maybe McCord and say, hey, look, I'd like to have that song thing over there. I want to do some stuff. You know, everybody would be divvying up my junk, and I'm gone. I'm not taking any of it with me. So, what do you want said about you when you're gone? If today was your last day, what do you want to be said about you? What would you want, McCord?
I would hope it's the good name, the noble life.
Good guy, noble life, okay. Anybody else?
I mean, I think we would all want some positive, you know, reflection or something.
Yeah. Ben, what?
I was going to say, we've all been to those funerals where we knew the person, and
yeah,
the way they're talking about the person is not the person we knew. And, you know, it's really sad when it's like, oh, that person was grouchy and mean and often, you know,
yeah,
people's heads off, and then you're at the funeral and they're like, oh, they were such a good person and all this,
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah.
They might say it after you're gone.
Right.
But whether it's true, like, I don't know, I've been thinking this thought the whole way through, but like Jesus is like, don't be afraid or don't marvel if the world hates you, you know,
yeah,
in John.
Because of who you're supposed to be.
Because of who you're supposed to be. So it's not really based on people around us and their reactions all the time.
Right.
Sometimes we're going to get a bad name in the world sense because we don't value money or our stuff.
Right.
But that good name, like that good reputation that we'll get from being like Christ is the true value. So I was just thinking about that, like, in
sure,
terms of, you know, there are a lot of funerals where, you know, like some celebrity dies and everyone mourns them for 2 days.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Because they did something in this life, but
right,
if you're able to make an impact on people around you and serve, and to the point where people can say, oh, they were a good person, they tried,
yeah,
to be like Christ in
right,
every situation. Like,
yeah,
that's what we're all going for.
Yeah, of course.
Well, you kind of just hit what I was going to say, but I was going to say that a good name, a true good name lasts as long as people remember you. And if it inspires somebody to change their lives based on your example, then you know you had a truly good name.
That's good. Anybody else? Okay, so, I mean, you know, it says, in 19:1, better is the poor who walks in his integrity than one who is perverse in his lips and is a fool. And that's the other thing that we see a lot in Proverbs, is the contrast between who? Two different kinds of people.
The wise and the foolish.
The wise and the foolish. And again, when it comes back to all the stuff that we're talking about, this good name is, it starts with a decision. Which one are you going to be? If we're going to have a good name, we've got to decide whether we're going to be wise or we're going to be a fool. And we know decisions that we make that fools make, right? I mean, when you do something stupid, don't you know it? It's like, why did I do that? That was stupid. Why did I do that? So then what do you do after you do it? If you need to, first of all, you repent of it. If you did something stupid and it was, you know, whatever. And then if you need to apologize, you go apologize to somebody. And then you try not to do it again. So that it's a learning experience instead of just stupidity continuing to manifest itself in your life and your actions. 22:1 says, a good name, that's the verse that we had. Again, just to remember that, it's what you choose, what's most important to you. Okay, now, the first point down there in the lesson, it talks about the importance of a good name, and it points to Proverbs 12:3. It says, a good name is not established by wickedness, but the root of the righteous cannot be moved. And basically, again, using the symbolism of the root of a tree. You know what? There are trees over in the backyard behind the house where I grew up, where our daughter lives, that when the tornado came through, that it just, I mean, you're talking about 167-mile-an-hour winds, which is hard to imagine after yesterday. The wind's blowing, it's cold, it's terrible. I don't know what the wind was yesterday, but I can't imagine a 167-mile-an-hour wind. But I'll tell you what it does. It takes a tree that is who knows how old, and the base of that thing's, you know, probably 24 inches wide, and it just rips it up out of the ground and lays it over on its side. And the root ball on that thing is amazing. But the way that tree is just embedded into the dirt, and its roots just, you know, it gets its nourishment from it, but it also holds it in place. So when we think about the importance of a good name is not established by wickedness, but the root of righteousness cannot be moved. We think of ourselves as righteous people, of godly people, after the life of Christ, then we're rooted in what? What are we rooted in? If we're the tree, what are we rooted in? What do you think we're rooted in here? I'm the tree. You're the tree. Here's my tree. What is this?
The soil.
Yeah, what's the soil?
I would assume it's the Word of God.
God's Word is what we're rooted in. Y'all agree with that? Are you rooted in God's Word? Ben, you're like, I don't know.
Not always. That's the thing. It's when you do make mistakes, you kind of realize, like, maybe I'm not trusting in God the way I should be. And
okay.
I need to do more.
But that's what we need to be rooted in.
Christ is the chief cornerstone. You know,
right.
He's the basis that you build everything on.
Yeah. We need to be rooted in God's Word, in the life of Christ, in the blood of Christ. We need to be rooted in what has been laid for us to be who He wants us to be. And that's how we deal with everything that comes about in this life. And make sure that we stay focused on what's important. He says in the book, a good name originates from others and not from yourself. 27:2 says, let another man praise you and not your own mouth, a stranger and not your own lips. In 27:21 it says, the refining pot is for silver and the furnace for gold, and a man is valued by what others have to say of him. So that's the other thing too. It kind of goes back to what we were talking about earlier. What do others say about you? It's not what you say about yourself, but it's what others say about you. Are people always going to say the right stuff about you? Can people sometimes say malicious things about you that might not be true? We better just make sure that we're not the ones doing that, right? We're not saying malicious things about other people.
I think it's also okay, so how many people are saying, because if you took, you know, I'd say if you took a group of people and, like, you were going to, let's say you're going to hire somebody.
Okay.
And they've gone through their interview process. And then, you know, they give you their three sets of contacts. and then you contact each contact. Anybody saying negative things will still have to be investigated.
That's just, you know, you never want.
Some people are good at putting on good facades, but if all three were to say something negative about you, then that would imply a very poor name.
Might be a problem. Yeah. So again, it's, you know, it's important in all aspects of our lives. He talks about honor in Proverbs 3:3-4. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. So find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. So, what does that look like every day in our lives? That verse and what it's talking about, honor. The honor of a good name.
You know, at the start of class, you were mentioning your trips to Japan.
Sure.
And they really valued that good name.
Yeah, that's right.
And they really, the shame they feel when they make mistakes or wrong someone is not something that we feel, but maybe we need to learn from their culture.
Well, and part of what they always did was when you had a business card and you took your business card, you know, usually people just kind of blah, but yeah, let me see if I got one on there. Here it is, you know, kind of throw it out there. When in Japan, what they did was when they gave you a business card, it's this right here. They bow at the same time that they're giving your card, they use both hands. And it's like that. It's honor. You know, please honor me, but, you know, here is who I am, and I'm showing respect to you. And so, again, there is a lot to be said for how just casual we can be sometimes with people about different things. And so, again, it's always a work in progress. We've always got to be working toward trying to be better. And first of all, we want to make sure that we're what God wants us to be and who He wants us to be. And Proverbs 11:20 says, those who are of a perverse heart are an abomination to the Lord. If we're perverse in the way that we live our lives, in the way that we are trying to go about doing whatever we do or how we treat other people, then it says we're an abomination to the Lord. What's an abomination mean? That's not a word you hear every day, right? Y'all know what abomination means?
Vile and disgusting. You can't stand the sight of it.
Yeah. That's how God sees us if we are not working to be honorable people in the way that He would have us to be. And then also, men, in Proverbs 12:8, a man will be condemned according to his wisdom, but he who is of a perverse heart will be despised. In 11:16, it says, a gracious woman retains honor, but ruthless men retain riches. The world has nothing to say but praise for honorable men, but dishonorable conduct can bring reproach in the business world, and that's not where we want to be or who we want to be. Okay, so when he talks about how to achieve a good reputation, we've talked about it some here. Integrity is one of the things that he talks about, and we talk about it, I mean, in an indirect way. But this specifically points to Scripture with the word integrity. Proverbs 10:9 says, he who walks with integrity walks securely, but he who perverts his ways will become known. What's integrity?
Like, how consistently you practice your morals?
Say it again.
How consistently you practice your morals?
Okay. How you consistently practice morals. Okay. Anybody else? That's good. McCord, are you going to say something?
Yeah. How much your morals can withstand outside pressure.
Okay.
Because, like, if you're easily tempted by other things, or, like,
I got easily swayed. I got a great example.
You're easily swayed, then you're not very...
So you're in a job, if you're in a job and you're out, you go out to dinner, and you're trying, you're with your boss, trying to make an impression, you're with a client, everybody's ordering drinks around the table, and you're not going to order a drink because you don't drink. That's what you're saying. How do your morals survive outside in the real world compared to what you say? And I've been through that when I was, you know, closer to your ages. And it was, you know, it really, it, at that point in my life, it was not a problem at all. I felt no pressure whatsoever because I knew why I was doing what I was doing. I was on board because I'd already been down the other road before, and I knew that that was going to take me absolutely nowhere. So I knew that was the train that I wanted to be on because I was concerned about God and making Him happy. I wasn't concerned about anybody else. But you know, you don't have to make mistakes to understand that this is where you need to be because it's where God says He wants us to be. It's just understanding that and letting your morals live outside of your head, your heart, and the actions. And that goes back to some of those other things I said earlier too. So, you know, we've got to decide. I mean, we either are committed to it or we're not committed to it. 11:3 says, the integrity of the upright will guide them, but the perversity of the unfaithful will destroy them. Things that we allow ourselves to do that can, you know, because if you don't consistently practice your morals, and you say that this is who you are, what's that going to do?
It makes you inconsistent.
Yeah, it there's inconsistency, but there's...
It's Bible.
Yeah, it's not... Is it true? I mean, do you really believe this? You say it, but do you really believe it? So that's important. 20:7 says, the righteous man walks in his integrity, his children are blessed after him. And it's just sticking with, you know, consistently practicing the morals, and that's what integrity looks like. Okay, honesty is another one of those things that we can talk about with regard to our good reputation. Diligently seeking God and doing righteous deeds. 12:20 says, deceit is in the heart of those who devise evil, but counselors of peace have joy. 13:5, a righteous man hates lying, but a wicked man is loathsome and comes to shame. 17:20 says, he who has a deceitful heart finds no good, and he who has a perverse tongue falls into evil. 20:17, bread gained by deceit is sweet to a man, but afterward his mouth will be filled with gravel. So, honesty is a fundamental component of integrity, of, you know, good, solid morals like we've talked about. And it's also part of one of these things that roots us deep within God's Word and letting that be reflected in our lives every day. If we are diligently seeking God, diligent means what? Focused on a real intense commitment to something. So if we're diligently seeking God, 11:27 Proverbs, he who diligently seeks good finds favor, but trouble will come to him who seeks evil. 21:21 says, he who follows righteousness and mercy finds life, righteousness, and honor. So we gotta be diligent about having a good name, about committing to being wise, about not letting pride get the best of us, but practicing humility, and then having integrity that is consistent in the way that we practice the things that are our morals every day. And then ultimately, righteous deeds, 20:11, kind of what McCord was talking about, what happens outside of our bodies. 20:11 says, even a child is known by his deeds, by whether he does what he does is pure and right. And it basically says something about what we believe and who we are. Luke 6:43-45 and Matthew 12:33-35 talks about the